in a faraway imaginary place called Toronto, Ontario, Canada. A failed frozen banana salesman is trying to make it as a bass player in a punk band. Then there's the girl this super bad bassist is pursuing. Standard fare, really. Oh, did I forget to mention? This place is inside a video game, and to woo his fuchsia follicle female skating the side streets of Scarborough, he must defeat all of her evil exes before he can say, "This is the end of the movie," starring Captain America, Captain Marvel, Superman. No, wait, he's the Atom. Wait, he's Superman again. Lenny from Legion, the newsroom's Maggie, who's the doctor in the new Picard series, Santa's sister, the Huntress, and Lego Robin, based on Brian Lee O'Malley's graphic novel of the same name. Edgar Wright's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
You're listening to Now You've Seen It, the podcast that endeavors to fill the holes in your essential movie viewing. Here's your host, Mike Wiley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now You've Seen It, the podcast that endeavors to fill the holes in your essential movie viewing history. I am your host for today's episode, Mr. Michael Wiley, saying greetings and salutations to all of you, our faithful followers and listeners. Look, I think we got a good show for you guys on today. We got some awesome panelists joining us. We have Matt Vague, who's joining us on today, and we also have Alice Lauren. How are you both doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain. I can, yeah. But I choose not to.
Yeah, I'm good too. Excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah, man, we're going to have a good time. Now, we actually got a special guest joining us on today. He's no stranger to podcast. He is a YouTuber. He is a streamer. He's a self-proclaimed nerd and geek. He is actually a former professional wrestling. He's actually New Jersey's favorite Italian, next to Tony Soprano, of course. And I am talking about the one, the only, Mr. Joey Image. Joey, what's going on, my friend?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
How are y'all?
Voice.
I know, right? He has that voice. He's like, good evening.
Ladies.
Yes. Good evening, ladies.
Yes.
or lady.
Welcome to Pillow Talk with Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Scott Pillow?
Yeah, right. Welcome to Pillow Talk with Joey Image. Today's episode.
Today we're going to talk about Scott Pilgrim.
Right. Today we're going to talk about
what
Scott.
What a pillow talk it is.
Yes. Yeah, that's a wonderful pillow talk. So we are actually talking about Scott Pilgrim. So the cat's out of the bag. And, this was a movie that I did go to see at the theater when it came out. I was, I don't want to say that I was excited, but I was intrigued in regards to what the movie was going to be about. So I was definitely one to go and check it out at the theaters. Now, I don't know if you guys seen it at the theaters, if you've seen it via DVD or video on demand, but I was one standing in line purchasing a ticket to go see said movie. Now, Joey, previous to the recording, was this something that you went to go check out when it first came out, or did you only watch it or was watching it prior to the podcast your first time viewing?
Yeah, no, this is my first time. I watched it just for this. And, yeah, so I had never seen it. My wife had seen it. She insisted that I would not like it, but she had seen it years ago, and I just got borrowed a DVD from a friend and watched it.
That she insisted that you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, she. I told her about this podcast. She's like, "You're not gonna like that movie," and I don't know why she thought that, but she's like, "Yeah, it's just not you," and blah blah blah. So I don't know. I will reveal whether I agree or disagree with that as we do this podcast.
What was your initial viewing of it when you first saw it? Like, what was, like, when you saw it, did you say, eh? Or were you like, ah?
You mean after it finished?
Yeah, after you finished viewing it, were you pleasantly surprised, or were you like, nah, the wife was right?
Kind of in between those. It had its good moments, but I think more of the favor went towards her than the movie itself.
Okay. Alice, what about you? Did you now, was this your first time watching it, or had you seen it previous to the podcast?
I had seen it previously in the last few years. I couldn't really tell you. I don't know if it was necessarily 10 years ago, which is crazy to think about, but in the last few years, and I just hated it, and then I saw it again, still didn't really like it. Maybe I have some more opinion for it now, but yeah, still not a big fan.
You hated it?
I know. Maybe that's a strong word.
It's a very strong word.
My gosh. All right. Well, I will just leave. Okay. No.
did it induce vomiting? Let's ask that question. I mean, was it that's that
type of vomiting? Oh my goodness. Behind the scenes, friends. We had some recording issues last time, and I indeed vomited after watching this film.
I mean, we never did ask if they were correlated or not, or if it was a coincidence.
No, we did not. Matt, what about you, man? What was your first impression of it?
So I didn't see it in theater, but I did see it soon after it got out of theater off of a friend recommendation. I wished I had seen it in theater after I saw it. I had no idea what it was. It was so random. I loved it.
It was you know what? That's probably the best description of the movie. It's very random. And it's one of those movies that, like, you, because you really don't know what you're going in. You really don't know what to expect when you're going into it, right? And it very much keeps you like, what the world is going on? Like, what is this? And it's one of those weird kind of quirky movies, almost like Napoleon Dynamite, right? It's just, it's one of those movies where you watch it and it's just like, what did I just sit through? And
that's then
what did you say?
That's a very good comparison, by the way, Napoleon
Dynamite. It is. It's one of those movies where you go in and you watch it and you're sitting there the whole time and it's like, I really want to leave, but I can't because whatever it is that's on the screen is kind of holding my attention. And then after you leave, it's like, what did I just watch? And you kind of later on appreciate it. It's really weird, man. But, you know, it was one of those movies where you either liked it. I did find, though, that there are two groups of people. People who really liked it and people who really hated it. There are very few that are kind of in between. So it's very interesting, Joey, that you said, you know, you leaned more towards what your wife said, although it wasn't a total, I hated it. So I thought that was really interesting that you said that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it had its moments, and it had some cast that I like, but just overall, it's almost weird to me that I didn't love it more, considering I'm such a geek and a gamer. Right? But I don't know. I think at the end of the day, like you said, Napoleon Dynamite, that was a movie that I watched the first time, and I was like, this is the dumbest effing thing I've seen in a long time. And then I watched it the second time. I was at someone's house a couple of weeks after the first time I saw that, and I think it was my sister, actually. She was watching Napoleon Dynamite, and I sat there and watched it with her because I was, you know, wasn't my house, so it wasn't up to me. And then after that, I was like, man, that movie's hilarious. Like, I don't know what I missed the first time, but for some reason, the second viewing, it was just so good. So yeah. I feel like I need to watch Scott Pilgrim again, maybe to kind of quote unquote get it. But yeah, after first viewing, I was not about it at all, really.
Gotcha. So I'll tell you what then. What we'll do is we're going to take a quick break here. And then when we come back, we'll get into the meat of conversation as to why you, and really not only you, but why a lot of people didn't like it, because it didn't do very well at the box office. And then we'll talk about some other things. So we're going to break right here for an ad, boys and girls. When we come back, we're going to get into the meat of the discussion. Matt, Alice, and myself, along with Joy, right here on the Now You've Seen It podcast.
On the new podcast, High Tea with Monsters, Rebel Scum, and Vigilantes, there's plenty to go around for everyone's inner film nerd. Whether you're craving news and analysis,
how was this made? You know, who decided to make a movie based on a board game?
Yeah. We are more days into 2020 than there are black actors and actresses nominated for Golden Globes. That means less than four. Or some lighter fare.
Well, to me, a movie isn't really a movie without something that's scary to it.
Ray, yeah. Hey, I'm force sensitive. I could use the force too.
Join High Tea with Monsters, Rebel Scum, and Vigilantes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and wherever else your favorite podcasts are served.
Hey, All right, and welcome back to the Now You've Seen It podcast, the podcast that endeavors to fill the holes in your essential movie viewing. Mike Wiley, Matt Vaig, Alex Lauren, and our special ghost, our special guest, not ghost, because he hasn't left, boys and girls.
He's alive, you guys.
He is alive. Our special guest, Mr. Joey Emmett, joining us for today's discussion. And we are talking about the 2009 release of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And we were discussing a few minutes ago about how we initially felt about Scott. And Joey mentioned that he didn't really care about it. And some of us saw it in the theater. Some of us didn't. And actually, a lot of people didn't go see it at the theater. Although there was, oddly enough, some really good hype surrounding the movie. But it didn't do well. There was an $89 million budget for the movie. But it only made $49 million in the box office. So I guess my first question is, what the world, what do y'all think happened? I mean, for a movie that, especially when you think of movies in terms of comic book adaptation, this one was considered to be probably closest to the source material, as you know, than other comic book adaptations we've seen. It had a lot of really, really good references, especially like Joey was saying, like he didn't understand why he didn't like it because he was a gamer and it had a lot of gaming references in there. But why didn't the movie do well? I mean, why did they not go support this movie at the box office?
I mean, I had read an article, and I know we'd talked about it previously, that these video game references themselves kind of appeal to older gamers, but this movie may have been too, I don't want to say childish, obviously. Like, I don't know if this is like necessarily a kid's movie. I wouldn't go that far, but
yeah,
maybe
not.
So maybe it was too, I don't know, immature, childish, whatever for adults, but like it didn't fit for kids. But it had the references, but the kids won't understand all the video game references. So maybe it was kind of like, who was this even made for in a sense?
Do you think maybe it was just bad marketing? Because, yeah. You know, because I don't, to be honest, I mean, it was 10 years ago, but I really don't remember like any trailers or many ads for it. And especially when you think of how was it marketed, like is it supposed to be a rom-com? Is it an action movie? Is it, you know, it wasn't like they were necessarily spinning it as a comic book movie. It wasn't a video game adaptation, so it was like, I think a lot of people were like, what kind of movie is it? And they just kind of waited and just said, you know what, maybe I'll just hold off on this one for a while.
I mean, I think it's a reflection of Michael Cera as a leading man, because really? His other movies, you know, it peaked with Superbad, but that was kind of more of an ensemble thing, and it just, right. The word of mouth on that spread like crazy when it's in theaters. And then after that, he was the lead in Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. That only made $33 million. But on a lower budget. And then it was in Year One with Jack Black, and Jack Black pulls it in a lot by himself. Right. And that only made $62 million off a $75 million budget. I just don't think people saw Michael Cera as a leading guy, especially in an action type movie.
And how well do video game movies even do? I mean, I know not that it's like based off of there, but even like Pixels looks dumb. This looks dumb. I mean, even thinking like just trailer wise, it kind of looks silly and dumb, but like not silly in a good way, just from an outsider perspective. And if you're thinking like, oh, based on a video game, or even based on comic books, we're getting even better with those, but obviously, but based on a video game, we're not doing so well with those kind of adaptations.
No, you're actually hit a point, because really, movies that are like video game, like adaptive movies, have a really they have a really bad stigma, and it's generally because they turn out bad. I honestly can't think of too many movies that were adapted from a video game that was actually really good.
Mario? No.
Oh God! Warcraft. Now you know what? Warcraft was actually pretty decent. I did.
But it didn't. Well, I guess it did actually. It was adapted from Warcraft. A lot of people think it's a World of Warcraft movie, but I know it didn't do that in this country, but it did like $400 million in Japan, in China or something. I loved it. I mean, I've seen it 1,000 times probably by now.
Because I can't think of any video game movie. Like, I know Jake Gyllenhaal, the Prince of Persia movie wasn't terrible, but it was just him playing Persian, I think, that kind of threw me off.
I didn't see I also didn't see Assassin's Creed, which I wanted to see.
Assassin's Creed was horrible.
Oh, I saw Assassin's Creed. I mean, it was all right. It was good.
Well, okay. I won't say horrible, but...
None of them have been super successful. They're not necessarily bad.
Right, right, right. And I think a lot of people, because they go into it expecting to see exactly what they, you know, what they played or interacted with, and it's like you're seeing it on the big screen, and they have to understand that it is an adaptation of the source material. So... You know, but yeah, it's this weird stigma with video game adapted movies, whereas they generally aren't very good, and vice versa. Normally, games is made off of movies aren't that good either. So, yeah. You know, there you go. So, I don't know, man. I think I'm really surprised that it didn't do well, because especially when, you know, we're in, like, Hollywood has been in this funk for the last decade or so, where they have just basically been doing reboots and remakes and recuts and, you know, whatever else they can throw re in front of. And so something different came out, and it was just like it just wasn't received very well. So I don't know. It was really strange. I really expected it to do. I expected it to do. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that it didn't do well because of Michael Cera. So is the disdain for Michael Cera real? I thought that was just a meme that people didn't like him. I didn't know that was like a real thing.
I think they like him as a supporting character. Yeah. As a comedic relief. I don't think he's a lead.
Yeah, what did I hear? It was like Michael Cera looks like someone who just wandered on set, and they're like, all right, fine, screw it. Act,
you know? I feel like Michael Cera is like a young David Spade. Like, I don't care about David Spade. I never found him funny. I just don't think he's funny. I think he's like just way too boring. And I feel like Michael Cera is the same way to me. He's just younger.
They're very dry. You either like that.
I also think that David Spade's got a pompous ego, and that turns me off to him like very quickly.
You know, Michael Cera, Michael Cera kind of comes off that way a little bit. Maybe not as pompous, but he comes off a little.
Well, can I tell you a David Spade story that I heard? It's a very quick one. All right, so David Spade and Sean Penn were in somewhere filming a movie, wherever. I don't know if they were filming together or if they just happened to be in close cities filming two separate things. And David Spade called Sean Penn on his cell phone, was like, hey, we should do dinner one night, blah, blah, blah. So whatever night it was, David Spade's like, oh, I'm staying at whatever hotel. Come in and they'll page my room or whatever. So he went in there and he was like, I'm looking for David Spade. And of course, they don't use real names, so fans can't find them. So he came in and was like, oh, I'm looking for David Spade. And they're like, there's nobody here under that name. And he goes, listen, I'm Sean Penn. I'm looking for David Spade. And they're like, I'm sorry, we don't have anyone under that name here. We can't do anything for you. So he left, and he ended up calling him back and leaving a voicemail. And he was like, David, this is Sean. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But I was like, David, this is Sean. I tried to get you at the hotel, and they said that you're not there. I'm not sure what the name you're using tonight is, but I couldn't find you. So when you get this, call me back. I'm staying at whatever hotel, and I'm under the name Sean Penn. And wow. I think he might have told that on the Stern Show, maybe is where I heard it. And he was like, Sean Penn was like, I love the guy, but God, that ego, man. I mean, come on, I'm staying under the name Sean Penn. That's my name.
I'm like hoping that was an accident. Like, oh my goodness. Right. He was like, oh shoot, like I forgot to tell you, you know.
No, man. Some people characters on screen is a reflection of, you know, who they are in real life. So
I know that David Spade doesn't write the scripts that he does, so maybe maybe it's not that he's not funny to me. Maybe he just picks crappy movies. I don't know. I'm just like, I mean, I didn't appreciate Chris Farley till a couple years after he passed away either. So maybe that's
you mean to tell me you didn't like Joe Dirt?
I didn't even watch it because David Spade's in it. Like, Tommy Boy was all right, Black Sheep was all right. You know, I don't care about David Spade.
What I think David Spade, I always automatically think Adam Sandler and, you know, and those guys. So I don't know. If you like that kind of humor, you know, there you go.
Maybe I'll check out Joe Dirt at some point.
Yeah, Joe D'Arte. So, okay, well, in that vein, though, since we're talking about, like, David Spade and him being arrogant and how that kind of, you know, how his persona maybe turned some people off. You know, Could that have been a thing with Scott Pilgrim, the character? Because Michael Cera has that dry kind of, hey, I just, like Alice said, I just wandered on set. Can I play with you guys type of attitude? You know, like a lot of people, when I talked to some people, they didn't like Scott Pilgrim's character. Like he was just, like he was a loser in a sense. You know, he was kind of a loser and he was a womanizer when you think about it, you know.
Who from this movie was a likable character? Maybe Ramona. Knives? I don't know.
Knives. And I like Scott. I thought Scott was like cool. Him. Yeah. You know, like his bandmates I thought were okay.
I liked Evil Scott.
Nega Scott.
Nega Scott, but I like
Evil Nice Scott, yeah. But more from Anna Kendrick. We need more of Scott's sister and the underused.
I think all his friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. Wallace was cool.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Kira Crocker's character, he was actually probably my favorite character in
the roommate, right?
In the movie. Yeah, yeah, that was the roommate.
Yeah, yeah, I like that kid.
Yeah,
told the right thing. They all influenced
it. They had a really cool cast if you think about it. Because who all was in it? They had Kieran Culkin. They had Anna Kendrick. Brandon Routh. They had Brie Larson.
Yeah, Superman was in.
Yeah. So was Captain America.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he was in it. Man, Jason Schwartzman was in it. I mean, it was a lot. It was a very eclectic. You know,
Bill Hader was doing sound effects.
Bill, right? It's like, come on, there you go. You got Bill Hader doing sound effects. So it was a really cool. I'm telling you, I was really surprised at how badly it really did at the box office. So speaking of Kieran, his roommate, you know, Wallace was gay in the movie. There was a scene when we talked about it previously that me and Joey found particularly funny. There was a line. And there was he had informed Wallace that he was inviting Ramona over for dinner, and he told Wallace that he had to leave because he didn't want him gaying the place up. Now, let me say this: the reason why I found that line particularly funny is because I have gay family members and I have gay friends, and you know, because of the closeness that we have, I joke around with them like that, and I have used that line probably more than I should have. I'm just gonna be honest.
Did you learn it from this movie?
No, I did not.
Okay, I was gonna say I've heard that before too, and I never seen this movie, but I've heard it.
No, I didn't. I didn't learn it from this movie. That's why when I heard it though, I instantly broke out laughing because it was just like, holy crap! I've said that once before. Do you think that this movie could have survived in the time that we live in now, because it wasn't a very politically correct movie, because he was dating a 17-year-old, you know, so there was a lot of not necessarily PC things in this movie. Would it have survived in this day and age? Like, would it have even gone to production? Like with some of the things that was going on in the movie?
Probably. Maybe a few tweaks there. I mean,
I think that gay line would have caused a lot of...
Well, like really? You said, I've got gay friends, too, and they're pretty cool with people they know making jokes like that. You know, if some random person on the street says it in malice, then it's a big thing. But I think they would have recognized it for what it was, and I don't think it would have been that big of a backlash.
Yeah, because I think, and it's just, like you said, it was really the context that he used it. I don't think he was telling Wallace that to be offensive. Like, yeah, you're gay, I don't want you around my girlfriend. Look, Wallace, you know, give us some space. I think that's more along the lines of what it was.
Yeah, definitely.
So Ramona and Knives. Speaking of Knives, you have Knives' child, which is the 17-year-old, soon to be 18, that he was dating, and then he meets the girl of his dreams, Ramona. And the whole basis of the movie, the whole synopsis of the movie was basically him fighting Ramona's exes, which was the League of Evil Exes, and there were seven all together. Joey, I got to shoot this question to you, because by you being a former pro wrestler, I understand And as a fan of wrestling, I know that one thing that a wrestler needs is a repertoire of moves and special moves and signature moves, you know, something that defines him from all the other wrestlers or from everyone else in the ring. The exes that Scott was fighting, they all were very different. They all had different abilities and cool things that they did. I got to shoot this question to you first. If you had to pick one of the X battles, which one would be your favorite?
Captain America. I forget the guy's name. Chris something. Seven. Because like he did that like I don't even want to say body slam, but he did that body slam move where he just like tossed him. Like 400 yards
when he threw him into the building.
Yeah. Like it was a castle or whatever. Yeah. That was the coolest thing I'd seen in a long time.
He just tossed him, was like, boom.
Like a rag doll. I mean, obviously, Scott Pilgrim was a lot smaller than everybody, but I mean, that was a hell of a throw.
With one arm, might I add.
Yes.
I think he grabbed him by the, he just grabbed him by the leg and just chucked him, was like, all right, get over there.
Yeah.
Now, what about you? You had a favorite X battle?
I leaned toward that one until how it ended, where he just skateboarded until he blew up. It showed me a little explosion thing and coins went up and points or whatever. But then when the final fight happened with Jason Schwartzman, and you have, you know, Scott fights whatever his name was in the movie, Gideon.
Yeah.
And Knives ends up jumping down and fighting Ramona, and then they have to do it all over again and everyone fights Gideon. It just it was a great way to build up to the biggest and best fight.
Final battle. Alice, did you have a favorite X battle?
I mean, I think I'm trying to remember all of them, but I would say the first one too with Captain America. I'll call him Captain America. Yeah, I didn't like that ending either. I mean, but based on obviously the hotness of Mr. Captain America and also his, I guess it was basically his finishing move, flinging him into the abyss. You know, I think that would probably be my favorite. Yeah.
It was fun seeing him play an unlikable character.
It was very much, I very much enjoyed that because most of the movies that he plays in, he plays that guy that, you know, you're kind of rooting for. He was a bit of an a-hole in this one. And I thought that was actually kind of cool. I think Gideon really is, I want to say the Gideon battle is probably a given for most people because that was the big climactic battle. That was the boss battle, right?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one of the smaller battles, I'm really torn between the Chris Evans battle and the one with Brandon Routh. I forget his name.
The vegan.
Yeah. I like Chris Evans' battle because I really thought that was a cool nod to the stuntman, right? Because, you know, enjoy, you know, man, just doing professional wrestling, you know, you guys put yourselves through, you know, through a lot of punishment to pull some of that stuff off.
Oh, yeah.
And these stuntmen do the same thing, and a lot of times they don't get their time to shine. And I thought that was really cool that his stuntman. Yeah, and it was like his real stuntman, right? And his real body doubles, they actually used them in the movie. And it was so funny because he was like, hey, I'm going to get a latte. Did you want one? He was like, no, I'm cool. And they all sound like him, which was really cool too. So I thought that was dope. And then the battle with him and Brandon Routh or the vegan, I just thought that was funny because they really had a bead on the whole vegan trend. And that was like 10 years ago. Before it even became a really big thing, you know, and so when he fooled him with the half and half coffee or whatever, and he lost his vegan powers, and the vegan police came in there and they started reading off the infractions that he had. I was like, that was the dumbest thing, but it was still funny to me. So, and actually, the base battle itself was really, really good. I actually thought the music in the movie wasn't too bad either. You know, and as for someone who's not really, you know, familiar with that kind of grunge, or I guess was that like grunge music, I guess, like that they were doing?
Yeah,
like that punk kind of garage band kind of sound. Not really familiar with it. I really did enjoy the music in it, and which actually a cool little nerd fact is that all of the songs that were in the movie were written by actual bands, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, quick shout out of for a battle for Ramona's female ex, because Scott had a very interesting finishing move.
Yes, he did. Yes.
That was
something. Man, I don't think I remember this.
Oh, the ex, I can't remember her name, but let's just say that her spot was her in that
movie, right?
No, that was Scott's ex.
She orgasmed to death is what
basically is what happened, you know.
That's
so
what happened.
Yeah,
that I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
You're like, wait.
He was like, wait a minute.
Where are you?
Yeah, I don't remember. I have to see that scene.
He like refused to hit her. And then she was done with a kick, and Ramona told him, hey, her spot's behind her knee. Just touch her there.
Right. Oh, I remember. Okay.
I
remember the knee line. I don't think I realized that that's what was happening, though.
Why was she screaming?
No, I thought, like, her spot, like, her weak point, like, her Achilles heel was behind her knee.
Oh, so that was her spot.
So
spot.
I thought she was screaming, like, in pain.
Nope.
Oh, I didn't. Wow, that. Okay.
Oh, no.
Not for kids. Apparently not for adults either, because I didn't even understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, until right now, not even, like, our you know, previous discussion about this, it never clicked until just now. Like, I thought it meant her weak spot is behind her knee, so, which to me, it was, like, not weird, because it's, like, a soft spot, so if someone punches me behind the knee or whatever, stabs me there, it's gonna hurt. So, yeah. I thought, like, that must be her weak point, and she's screaming in pain. I didn't realize she's screaming in pain.
Now you've understood it.
The podcast that endeavors to fill the holes. Well, I'll just stop right there. Oh, anyway.
Ayo.
It's PG-13, man. I can do it. I can do those things. So, look, let's do this. We're going to break here for another ad, and when we come back, we're going to do a segment called
What's That Sound?
Right, it's going to be called Stop Children, What's That Sound? Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Now You've Seen It podcast.
Hey, I'm Josh Bell.
I'm Jason Harris. Hey, Josh, we're friends in real life, but we're also co-hosts on this new podcast called
Awesome Movie Year, where we take a look back at an awesome year for movies and do a deep dive looking at movies, including the Best Picture winner, the biggest movie at the box office, future cult classics, and more.
Including the biggest flop. And this season, we're doing 1994. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. That could be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're all over the web as well. Get Awesome Movie Year on all the socials and awesomemovieyear.com. So please like us, subscribe, and if you do like us, give us a 5-star rating because we love you.
And welcome back to What's That Sound? Actually, this is not What's That Sound. This is the Now You've Seen It podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Mike Wiley, here with Matt Vague, Alice Lauren, and special guest, Joey Image. Talking about Scott Pilgrim. Listen, this is the fun part of the podcast here. What we're going to do, we are going to recast. If you have the ability to recast the movie, to remake it for today, who would you put in place? So, Alice, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to let you recast the leading man, the man of the hour, the Tower of Power, Mr. Scott Pilgrim. If you could recast him today for a Scott Pilgrim remake, who would you put in his spot?
Oh, geez. And I feel like I have to, like, vamp a little bit because I know that... I guess I'll talk through my process. Basically,
there you go.
I know
talk
that, like... Because he was such a womanizer, but, like, maybe should be kind of nerdy as well. Because that's the other thing I think we had talked before. Like, how is this baby-faced toddler getting all these women? But, you know, I don't know. Right? So, like, do I want to choose, you know, someone... Should it be Chris Evans? No, he's not a teenager. Probably needs to be a teenager. Well, not teenager, but like young 20s. Oh, now I feel really old. Who's an actor in their young 20s? Everyone has aged.
Everyone is so old nowadays.
Suddenly, I'm like, everyone's like 28.
No, it hurts me. That age 10 years ago.
Right? Well, yeah. Now they're, they're like 33. So.
Wait.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm older.
No, because I was like looking up like how old they were now. So it was like Michael Cera, I think, was 23 at the time, I believe, and now he's 33.
He doesn't age though. Oh, he still looks like he's aging.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he does.
It's amazing.
It would be a good one. I don't know. Should we, like, shuffle the people around? Like, it should be, like, Chris Evans now.
I actually thought about the
that's kind of interesting, actually.
Like, Aubrey Plaza as Ramona would have been interesting.
Or, like, a female Scott Pilgrim. Like, I don't know. I mean, since we're, like, rebooting, you know, female Ghostbusters, female whatever. I don't even remember what else.
I was thinking the same thing, and then instead of...
I was going to say female Charlie's Angels, and then I'm like, wait.
Wow.
female Bond, yeah, but...
If we switched them around, who would play, who would be Scott? And actually, what, you know what? I would probably put Michael Cera as Matthew Patel, since he was like the weakest one out of all seven. Let him be the first one, kick him in the face, get him out of there, move on. So maybe
we all wanted that for him. Yeah, he has a very kickable face.
I agree. So, okay, so if we do that then, who would be Scott? Of the cast, of the current cast, who would? Oh,
from that cast.
That cast.
Oh, from that cast. I was gonna say, what's his name? Michael, whatever. Not Michael Jordan. Whatever. Michael C. Jordan. Michael P. Jordan. I forgot his name right now.
B. Jordan.
Well, yeah, Michael B. Jordan. Michael Initial Jordan.
from Creed.
Creed.
Yes, from Creed.
Michael B. Isn't it B?
I think it's B. Yeah, I was like Michael Jordan.
Initial.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. He's too cool for that.
Yeah, I'm like, he might be a little too cool for that one.
But he likes those nerdier things. Does. He's done the comic book.
Yeah, he has.
The first time.
So who would be, so then, you know what, since we were talking about having Chris, you know, playing like that character that you didn't like, what if Chris Evans actually played Gideon?
Oh, he could pull that off.
Like, I think he would have really pulled that off and probably would have had a good time doing it.
Michael Cera as Gideon.
God. Oh, I would hate him even more if he was Gideon.
So much power. Suddenly he's just cocky. He's like, oh, it's me. I just imagine him. It's like, wasn't he in the end? Michael Cera was, I think, in like the End of the World movie or something like that, where he was like super cocky and like having sex with Rihanna or so. I don't even remember, like doing coke, like he like did like a whole like heightened version of himself. That would be really funny.
Actually, I think he was really just acting like himself.
Yeah, or yeah, probably who he is in real life.
An exaggerated version of him.
Right. That wasn't an exaggerated version. I think that was just him. What about Ramona and Knives? Who do we get to play Ramona and who would play Knives?
I mean, from the current cast, I think Aubrey Plaza would be the best Ramona. She's got the most.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she was in there. She was Julie.
Yeah, she like worked like everywhere he went.
Yeah. Well, actually, would she be a better Knives? And then maybe Anna Kendrick could be
Ramona. Maybe one take presentation. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like Aubrey Plaza is more emo. But I don't know that either of them could pull off Knives that well.
Aubrey Plaza as the lead singer instead of Brie Larson, maybe.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Well, Anna Kendrick.
Well, Anna Kendrick could be. Yeah, Anna Kendrick could pull that off, and maybe Brie Larson could have been the sister.
Oh, Brie Larson deserves a lot. Brie Larson deserves to. I don't know what's the female version of Scotty Pilgrim. I don't know what's the female version of Scott. Skylar Pilgrim.
Skylar
Pilgrim. That would be interesting. So, who would play what? You know what would be cool? I wish we could have actually used Macaulay Culkin as Wallace. Yeah, like him playing the role that his brother played. That would have been. I wonder how that would have been. That would have been that
cool as his brother. But it definitely would be cool to see this movie.
Maybe Awkwafina is Knives. We still have another Asian woman.
Oh, but, like, Awkwafina's like
funny.
Her.
Who the hell is that?
Okay. A water bottle could play Knives Chow.
That's what I meant. What?
She's still one-dimensional. I mean, you
know. No, I'm kidding. I was just thinking of Awkwafina.
Like she's an actress.
Feet of water.
Oh, I have no idea who that is. I was thinking I don't mean to cut you off, but I was thinking for Knives, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. She'll take any Asian role.
Well, I mean, there's no rule.
Especially if it's a... Stop it.
Whoops. Especially if it's a reboot. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be Asian.
No, yeah, but did you hear what she said? She said she was an idiot.
There was a movie 2 years ago that she played an Asian lead, and
yeah.
It was Ghost in the Shell, right?
Was that an anime or another movie?
Yeah, that Ghost in the Shell was an anime.
I have one for Ramona as well that I'd kind of be interested in. I was thinking Fairuza Balk.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a meme recently. She should have been Harley Quinn. She was made that would for be that. Cool.
I also have three for Scott Pilgrim. One of them is completely ridiculous.
Okay.
The other two might be. I had one in my head when we started, and I completely forgot about it now. So I just threw in another one. But I would say somewhat serious, maybe Fred Savage.
I like Fred Savage. He can be kind of.
He looks like he doesn't age much either.
No, he does not.
Edward Furlong, who's horrible nowadays. and the absolutely ridiculous one would be Artie Lang.
Because
he's my favorite comedian. I love that guy. And
I thought you were going to say Robin Williams. Robin Williams cast for everything.
I mean, since we're going to go that route, how about we just throw David Spade in there, Scott?
Let's
get it over with.
You know what? Robin, if Robin Williams was alive, he would be an awesome Gideon, I think.
He would have been a great Gideon.
Yeah. Well, he was alive still when the movie was made.
I think he would have been a really, really good Gideon. But then that would have been kind of weird because he's like 60 and Ramona was in her 20s. So he would have been more like her sugar daddy, I guess. I don't know.
Very different movie.
Yeah.
I love Ramona.
That would have been a really, really different movie, man. So look, here's some cool, real quick. There's some cool facts that I kind of found that I thought was interesting. Do you know that Edgar Wright had, whenever they did a shoot, he made it so that they could not blink during the shoot. And if they blinked, he would actually reshoot the whole scene. Even if they had their lines right, he made them reshoot it because he didn't want them to blink. Because he felt that gave the movie more of a comic book or anime type look, which it's so weird. And
I don't think anybody would have noticed or cared.
That's the funny part. I didn't notice it until I read that, and then I went back to watch it. There were some people who blinked. Now I will say that the young lady who was on the female drummer, I can't think of her name, but she played Kim.
Oh, all right.
She played Kim in the movie.
Alison Pill.
Yeah, she actually didn't blink on during any of her scenes. There were a couple of scenes where she may have cut her gaze or she may have maybe looked away, but she did not blink in any of her scenes. I was like, holy crap. That's dedication, man. That's like really, really dedication. So I thought that was really cool. And I didn't know that actually Quentin Tarantino actually had some input in the movie. I thought that was kind of cool when I read that. And then we know the thing about the stunt doubles of Chris Evans' character were actually his stunt doubles.
I'm still in my head. I'm still recasting. What if we make Gideon like an older guy, right? And it's not like her sugar daddy. It's just like it's like her father or whatever. Like they just reconnect and he wants her to come back home and, you know, be miserable and be like a wonderful daughter or whatever. And Gideon is cast as Bernie Sanders.
What?
I don't know. I just thought of that whole thing.
His grandpa who doesn't want her to die. I like that.
As long as he gets to say, feel the burn in the movie, I don't care. Cast him.
I'm wondering if he's fighting stuff with you, though.
Oh my god! Yeah,
it would have to be like Drunken Monkey, man. I can only see Bernie Sanders doing like Drunken Monkey style. I can't see him doing anything.
You know what? Wait, maybe I wasn't thinking of Bernie Sanders. Maybe I was thinking of Colonel Sanders.
Oh, wow!
Because I was thinking old guy. Yeah, maybe
Larry David.
One of those guys. Maybe, I don't know. There's been a million Colonel Sanders.
Like
either one of them would be fine with me.
So would he have like ninjas. That would be cool. Yeah.
It would have been a good director cameo, Edgar Wright as Gideon.
Did Edgar Wright have a little cameo in the movie?
I don't know if he did or not.
I don't remember seeing him.
Cool.
Yeah. And did you know what's funny? Actually, and this is what I thought was kind of weird. They actually, the original ending was meant for Scott to end up with knives. Even after all the fighting and everything, they originally wanted him to end up with knives. And then they was like, well, you know, he did go through a lot for this girl, so maybe he should end up with her. They was like, fine, why not?
Might have gotten but mad. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I would have felt about that if he, and although I like Knives, I would have felt kind of stupid if he went through all that and then he was just like, yeah, I'm going to stay with Knives.
maybe he turned 18 by that time, but yeah, I don't know. Like, we're like, all right, yay. Had a feeling.
Maybe after he learned the power of self-respect, he said, "Hey, you know what? I'm not going to cheat on her. I'll just stay with Knives." I don't know. That would have been stupid. Now that I think about it,
I would have. I was getting annoyed when it looked like he might not go with Ramona. I was like, "Wait a minute, what?"
Yeah. Maybe Negascott would have ended up with Ramona. That would have been cool.
And then the sequel.
They could have walked out together. Right. And then in the sequel, he would have created another league of exes. But, you know, they would have all been just negative versions of the other people. Who knows? But because the movie.
What would a sequel to this be like?
It probably horrible. I mean, if they
happen?
I don't know. I mean, if I would be afraid for, I mean, I can't even count it out because you look at. You look at some movies now, some sequels like 15, 17 years in the making, like Blade Runner. I mean, although it wasn't a direct sequel, how long ago was the original Blade Runner released? And then 2049 came out of nowhere. So I would never say never, you know, but I think some movies, there's just no hope for a sequel, you know, and unfortunately, I think Scott might be one of them. Although, I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
You could do it the other way. Ramona breaks up with him, and then someone wants to date him and has to beat all his exes.
Wow, and it was a lot of them.
It would make maybe a good TV show. I could see that.
Oh, yeah, maybe so. Who knows? Who knows what the future for Scott is? He may come back. He may not. Maybe Gideon, you know, decides to go a different way, and he hooks up with Wallace, and then the next thing you know, it's a whole different scenario. Who knows? That would
Wallace's be Wallace's evil exes, yeah.
Exactly. Now you got Wallace's evil exes that he has to deal with, so... You know, it can go any kind of way. So look, Joey, now you may not be familiar with our rating system, but what we do is we basically rate the movies on a scale of 1 to 10. But instead of just saying 1 to 10, we put a little spin on it and we use a dollar amount. So if you want to give it $1 being the lowest, $10 being the highest, if I was to ask you right now, how much would you pay to see Scott Pilgrim, what would your dollar amount be, sir?
In theaters, right?
Theaters, yes, sir. From $1 to $10.
25 cents.
Wow.
Wait, what did you say?
I'm saying
5 cents. In
theaters always adds at least 25 cents, no matter how much.
I was going to say about $3.50.
$3.50? All right.
Yeah.
Alice, what about you?
I know. You know what? I'm feeling a little generous, kind of like being removed from this movie a bit, and then watching all of the Honest trailer on YouTube. I recommend that. There's also a like everything good about Scott Pilgrim as in the cinema wins. I don't know why I'm plugging other people's YouTube. I don't care. It's fine.
YouTube.com/JoeyImageTV.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, plug all the things. Plug your Twitch. I saw you on there too. So I'm kind of removed from it, so I'll give it like $6.
Oh wow, that's much higher. Let me,
that
let me
is.
I want to alter
and I probably
mine
gave
a little
it a four just talking about it, but...
okay. I want to alter mine a little bit, so still afraid. $3.50. Mine would still be $3.50, but somebody else has to pay at least $1.50 of it.
Wow.
Because I don't want to go alone.
So would that take it to so someone has to pay part of your $3.50?
Yeah. So for me, it would be $2, and they could pay $1.50.
Leave it at $3.50.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely having a boy pay it for me. Are you guys kidding? No.
I'm on my way.
Exactly. All right. So we got Alice down for $6. Matt, what about yourself, sir?
Well, I love all the little stuff, the things that made it a comic book and a video game movie, like the little pee bar that went way too fast. A little inside one from our last attempt at this.
Exactly.
I feel like I could watch this movie probably 5 times and still notice new things every time. Yeah. And it seems like a fun movie theater movie with all the big fight scenes. So I would definitely go like $8.50.
Okay.
Wow. All
right.
That doesn't even include popcorn.
but you know what? I'm kind of in the same boat. And as someone who actually saw it in the theater, it was something to experience in the theater, especially the fight between them and the Katsuyanagi twins. That whole scene in the theater was just insane with the sound. It was really, really great. And I actually enjoyed the movie a lot. And as a gamer, I appreciated all of the gaming references. And Alice, I know you mentioned it earlier about some of the references being old. I'm an old school gamer. I mean, I've been gaming since ColecoVision. So a lot of the sounds, like the Zelda theme music and the Mario coins and the I'm going to get a life, and you see the little one up symbol and all the other little things, like the versus bar that comes up and the little words like counter and all those other things. I dug all of those video game references, and it was one of those movies that at the time it was something different. It's quirky, and I just appreciated it for what it was. Although I'm not, like most of you guys, I'm not necessarily a fan of Michael Cera. I thought for the role he was fine for that role, and so based on those things, I would have paid. If I went to go see it today, I probably would. I wouldn't pay the $10, but I would pay about $9. I really would.
I don't know. I'm like, oh, six too high.
So if we averaged out the dollar amounts that we would pay, that would actually give Scott a average score of $6.75 on the Now You've Seen It scoring chart. So that's not too bad, actually. That's higher than Aliens, if I'm not mistaken.
We had like a something.
Yeah. Oh, Space Out. Yeah, that was interesting. So yeah, Scott's doing pretty good. No, it's not. So Scott was doing pretty good. Joey, look, before we get out of here, man, I'm going to give you a little time so you can go ahead and plug the stuff that you're doing and let the people know where they can find you and you know where they can look you up at, bro.
Of course. twitch.tv/JoeyImage. Actually, it's JoeyImageTV on all platforms. So Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I feel like I'm missing something. Instagram, yes.
Instagram, okay.
Yes. Everything is JoeyImageTV. And please subscribe to my YouTube. I just relaunched it January 1st and it went really good. Much more, what's the word? Subscribers and activity on there than I actually expected myself. So please check that out. Subscribe to my YouTube if you would, and follow me on Twitch. You can subscribe on Twitch too, but that costs more. Unless you have Amazon Prime, then it's free. Otherwise, I appreciate
it. Cool, man. I just hit subscribe.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I subscribed the last time we
forgot to.
I can't say record.
On the YouTube, we're talking about on the Twitch.
YouTube.
Thank you.
I'll do both. I'll hit you up on YouTube and Twitch. I did YouTube actually the last time we spoke. I won't say record because it didn't record. But the last time we spoke, I will say that I did subscribe, man. Look, Joey, it's a pleasure, my friend, having you on. And I hope this isn't the last time, man. I want you to come back.
Yes, I'm going to go through that list, and I'm going to talk to Sean and say, yo, I've never seen What's Called either. Let's do that one in March or February or whatever.
Oh, man.
We'll figure something out. It'll be a lot of fun. This has been a blast.
Yes, sir. So, look, boys and girls, that's it for us on today on Now You've Seen It. Listen, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Let the people know about the Now You've Seen It podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, all of that good stuff, man. You can email us at oraclepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nowyouveseenit. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/oraclepodcast. And you can check out this and other wonderful podcasts at oraclepodcast.com. Shout out to Eric Hunt for our theme music. And we also want to give a thank you to our broadcasting partners at Age of Radio and Galactic Netcast. And you can find out more about them at theageofradio.org and gncast.com. On behalf of Matt Vague, Alice Lorne, Joey Image, and myself, we want to appreciate you guys for coming and hanging out with us. And so until the next show, my friends, we'll talk to you guys. Peace.
Bye.
Hashtag let us fill your hole.
Wow. Oh, boy. All right. Until next time, your holes have been filled. We're out.
Now You've Seen It is a production of Oracle Media Productions in association with Age of Radio and Galactic Netcasts. For more great podcasts, visit oraclepodcasts.com, ageofradio.org, and gncasts.com.